Today we are blessed to hear words from three of our church family on what their faith and their church mean to them. First Julie Butcher, then Barb Gangware, and then John Wilbur. Welcome to the pulpit.
Morning. Greg asked me to talk today. I thought long and hard. This church is a very, very special place to me, my family. We've been members almost 6 years now. We came to this church through preschool when my son was four. And it's a very different experience for me than what I had growing up. I was raised in a very Catholic, very Italian household. And in an Italian household, when you're Catholic, you're born Catholic. It's not a choice. It's not a decision you make. You just are Catholic. And for me, the Catholic Church just wasn't a good fit. It seemed repetitive, the prayers, and was very formal and ceremonial, and just didn't fit our life. When I would leave church, I would just feel like what I had heard, I couldn't connect to my life. I couldn't put it into a context of what I dealt with on a day-to-day basis with my family and my kids. And so when I brought my son here for preschool, we moved to the area, and Sears Boulevard was right down the street, nice and close. It was just a very welcoming church. And after attending chapel, and I really, really liked how Greg was with the kids, we decided to give it a try and see if it fit. And it did. It was just refreshing, and the prayers were so different than what I was used to and what I grew up with. They spoke to my life. The sermons that Kathy and Greg would give would just help me through and speak to me in the troubles and the joys that I was facing every day. And after the first service at this church, I came away just feeling like I had found something that I didn't know I was searching for. I found a place where everything just seemed to fit. This became a place of peace for me. I could come to church, I could sit and be quiet and reflect and just refresh my spirit. I could fill up again on what I had given out all week to everybody around me and be able to face next week with a smile and not so cranky and get through my week. And it was important to us. I mean, we really felt like we had found a place where we belonged, and we dove right in head first, especially me. I like to volunteer. So I became part of Sunday school and teaching Title Time, which I thoroughly enjoy, and also became very involved in VBS, which is pure joy, if you've ever attended. And it's just really been a blessing. I'm on the school board also, and it's really fulfilling for me. Mostly, though, really, it's just being able to be in this place where we can share fellowship and just fill up again on the things that we need. I really didn't believe I could ever find this anywhere else. I thought that this was it. This was the place that I needed to be. But, you know, we have dreams. And so we started talking about our dreams, a dream that George and I had had for 10 years since we first got together. And that dream was just to get out of here and live someplace simpler in the mountains out west. And so not an easy thing to do, to leave our family and our friends and mostly this church, because it was home. But, you know, we chase our dreams. So we decided to uproot our kids. We're young enough to make the change. And we were going to go west. So I packed everybody up and I rented RV and off we went. We toured Montana and Wyoming and tried to figure out where we could land. But one of my main goals was I had to find a place that could give me what this place was. We went to churches and we looked and we met people and they were friendly and kind and welcoming, just like the people here. But it just didn't feel like this did. Didn't feel the same. And what I discovered was that what I was searching for, it wasn't in any church in Montana or Wyoming. It was just there. It was all around us. When I stood on the mountains or on a rock creek where we had camped out one night, I felt the peacefulness that I feel here. I felt like I could regroup. I felt like I could fill up my spirit with what I needed. And I knew this was a place where our family should be. We've all believed it. And so we came home, we put our house on the market, I started selling furniture, we packed, and we were going to move. That was what we were going to do. But, you know, while we make plans, life gets in the way, and sometimes things change, and that's what happened to us. Opportunity was placed in front of us. And so now we had a choice to make. Do we take this opportunity, which seemed the right thing for our family, or do we chase our dream? So we went back to our faith, and we came here and we prayed, and I thought, and I reflected, and as hard as it was to give that up and to say, we're not going to go, we did it. Made a little easier by the kind words of everybody who didn't want us to leave, but it was still very hard because, you know, when you take your dream down off that shelf, it's really not an easy thing to put it back up there. So here we are. We seized this opportunity, and now we're just going to see what life brings. We're going to stay here. We're going to know that this place is still a place where I can be refreshed, where the people here will lift me up every time I walk through those doors, and this building and these people will just be my mountain for now. And I will come here and get the things that I need to get through my week or my day, and just to be a better mom, a better wife, and a better friend. My faith is my foundation, be it a church or a mountain, or a wreck or a stream, I guess, but this is where we are. And I believe thoroughly that we are so blessed to have found this place where we can call home with people we call friends. And it's just really a special and blessed place. And I thank Kathy and Greg and everybody for their inspiring words every week to help get us through the things that we need to get through. I thank you for your listening ears and your kind friendship. And I hope you have a very wonderful day. Thank you.
Good morning. Hi, I'm Barb Gangwear, and I'm going to talk about my Christian faith, and I am going to talk about Wilder Presbyterian Church and myself. So, when I started thinking about being a Christian, and I thought about my everyday life, I tried to think to myself, when am I challenged the most to be a true Christian? And I thought about driving through the construction zones that I have on my way to work. And the reason is because there is this spot where there's a couple lanes that merge down into one. It's right before I get to my office building. And the vast majority of people start to notice the signs where it says merge over and that people will line up, but it never fails that two or three people will come around, they'll zoom around in the lane that's about to be closed, and just cut in front of everybody and not wait their turn, and it really makes me kind of annoyed. So last week, I was driving to work, and I saw out of my rearview mirror somebody was about to cut around the whole line of people who waited very nicely. So what I did is I took my van, my minivan, I just jutted straight out into that open lane and did not let that person get past. And I was just determined not to, and she started making some hand motions and using some choice words, I'm sure. And I rolled down my window and I said, hey, you can wait your turn like everybody else. And I laugh when I think about it, because here we are both dressed up for work. We fixed our hair, put on our makeup. We kind of look like we're nice people. I don't think we were being very nice, though. But I think it got the better of me, and I blocked her, and I wouldn't let her in. And by the time I made it around the corner, I was really kind of pissed off. If you'll excuse the terminology, but I was just like, you know, I was just mad. And I got up into the office and I was talking to some of the people I work with. And I said, you know, I really have to question myself. Is this right? I mean, in a way it seems right, but in another way it really seemed wrong. So I did a little bit of self-talk to my own inside voice and tried to decide, you know, what should I do at a time like this? And I'll be driving that path next week again, so I'm going to try to behave myself, or maybe I might start driving a different path. But I think it's interesting that the very little details in life can bring out who you are as a person in your everyday life. How do you live a Christian faith? I want to tell another story about being on the road that I think is the opposite of the first story. One time I was lined up at a toll booth. It was a long toll booth, a long wait. And when I finally got up to the window, the person collecting the toll said, oh, that car in front of you said they're paying for you. You don't have to pay. And it was a complete stranger. And I just thought, wow, that was so nice. What a nice person. And the funny thing is, this was maybe 15 years ago. And today I can talk about it because that tiny little act of kindness struck me as such a way for a person to be kind that I didn't even know, to give to me something so simple, and I didn't pay the toll, and it was really a nice experience. So you can be Christian on the road too. The Bible means things to me that I apply to my own life, and I take messages out of it, and it comforts me, and it guides me, and it helps me along the way because sometimes I don't know the right way, and I have to stop and think. One of the messages that I turn to really often that keeps me moving forwards, I believe, is seek ye first the kingdom within. And this helps me because I think we live in a world where we are bombarded with outside images. Beautiful people, fancy cars, great houses, jet-setting lifestyles, casinos, all these sparkly lights. And to me, that is the outside world. And that's the opposite of what I'm told to seek through the Bible. And the Bible tells me to look towards the inside and to look for that kingdom within. And that is really a strong pillar of faith for me as I live my everyday life. I don't think it's bad to have to be beautiful or to have a great house. I just don't think it should be your top priority. It really does become a false god in a way if you're concentrating on those are your main goals in life. And that helps me because I think our society loses sight of that pretty easily. Judge not and be not judged. I hear people say terrible things about other people sometimes. You know, I work in a corporate environment, and there's a lot of people there, and there's a lot of pole positioning and vying going on, and sometimes I'm amazed at what people say about other people, and I think, you know what? You're not really supposed to judge other people. You're not supposed to say bad things about other people. I don't feel like I'm able to say how somebody else's life is supposed to be. I think that's God's job. Quit looking at the speck in your neighbor's eye and look at the log in your own. I think this is another way that the Bible shows us you should live the life you're given. Look at your own life. Search yourself and become a better person. Reflect towards the inside. Look at your own face in the mirror. And I think this has helped me to center myself and to try to understand what I'm supposed to be doing. Love your enemy. That's pretty powerful and it's hard to do. But what I found is by loving a person who you consider somebody who's against you, it frees. For myself, it's freed me so much. There's this negative energy that goes away when I'm able to say, I don't know this person's reasons. I don't know why. I have to forgive and move on. And instead of looking backwards or looking at a dark side, suddenly I'm looking forwards and the future looks bright. So it actually frees me to love people that feel like enemies. Care for those in need. I think this is a really important Christian message that I try to live. I heard on the radio on a talk show this past week that the average age of a homeless person is 9 years old. And sometimes, like maybe in a discussion, I had a discussion in my neighborhood where some people were saying, you know, I don't really feel sorry for homeless people. That's their problem. They didn't do something right or they're lazy or whatever. And I felt like if this person knew that it's a 9-year-old that's homeless, you know, when I heard this information, I wanted to go back to my neighbor and say, hey, guess what? You know, we need to reach out because the majority of these are children. So I think it's really important to care for people who are in need. When I forgive, I am forgiven. So I really believe that a whole lot of life's journey begins with forgiveness. I've really been hard on my own self sometimes. I think I'm a bad person or I did something wrong or many variety of negative thoughts I could have. But you know what? When I forgive my own self, I understand the forgiveness. And when I forgive other people, the future looks so bright. It keeps me from looking backwards. I look forwards, and it gives other people chances to move on to. To love and to be loved, I think this is a real rock in the Christian faith, live a life of love. It's so simple and it's so profound. So just try to be a loving person, try to be a giving person. I want to talk a little bit about what the cross means to me. When I was a child, I went to every Good Friday. There was a service where it was reenacted, the crucifixion, and we in the congregation would be yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." I always felt so sad when I went through the service, and I always thought, I would never do that. I would never want Jesus to be killed. I would never. I started to not quite resent it, but I wouldn't say it after a while because I was just like, no, I would never say that. I would never do that. And it was hard for me to understand, you know, like Jesus died for you. I used to think, oh, I wish he didn't. I don't want him to. You know, let's go back and undo it. I don't want him to die for me. Now I've changed my idea of it. And what I realized is, as an adult in the recent past, it's become a more beautiful story to me, because what it turned out to me is it bloomed and opened up for me to understand better is Jesus paid my toll at the toll booth. It's like he said, I'm going to pay for that person behind me, and I was able to go through, because if I had to pay for my own self, if I really had to pay for all my sins, all my imperfections, I'd probably never make it through. And so he paid for me and said, open it up, open up the road to heaven and let Barb on. And it suddenly became a gift, just a beautiful gift somebody gave, that somebody was able to pay for me in advance, and they did it out of love and kindness. And that's the Christian message comes back to me in that way. Now it feels like as a child I used to be confused by it. Now it just feels like a wondrous gift. Coming to Wildwood Presbyterian Church has been such an incredibly great experience for me. I feel like I have so many friends. I feel like I have so many opportunities. I love to volunteer. I can't volunteer enough. I can give. I can receive. I can give across the world. I've given money to that well, you know, so I can give to people I don't know. I can give on a global scope. I've heard there's 25,000 music therapy establishments in the United States, and that if you participate in music, it lowers your blood pressure, and it makes you feel better, and it's healthy. And the great thing is here, you can get your music therapy for free. I sing in the choir, and it's wonderful. I love it. It's just such a rewarding time for me. My family has just benefited so much. My children, we love the programs. I've always been able to turn to Kathy and Greg for leadership. They've always listened to me with compassion and offered me guidance. I feel safe here. I feel secure. I feel loved. It's such a wonderful place for me to be. I'm going to finish with a verse that's out of one of my children's books, but it's also a verse that is maybe familiar to you. Do all the good you can in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Amen.
Man, the view is great from up here. You should try this. I can see why Greg likes this. Good morning. My name is John Wilbur. You know, when Greg asked me to speak this morning, I said, sure, I know exactly what to talk about. It's a story about the enormously positive impact that the WPC Youth Group had on our youngest son, Jason. On him and on our guilt for moving him 800 miles away from the only home he had known all his life, and doing it during his high school years, the years he was already struggling with, because he's a little on the quiet and shy side, and he wasn't much of a student either. I thought to myself, I can go on about how 6 years ago, Chris DeLulo, Chris Bostrom, Amy, Matt, Mike, Maddie, Maggie, Liz, and all the other teens dragged him away from us one Sunday morning after we'd been in church only a few weeks, and forced him to sit with them in the back pews of the church, way in the back, you'll remember. And I can talk on and on and on. Like most parents, I can quite happily talk about my kids all day long. But as I gave it a little more thought, I realized this is really an old story, already heard by many in the church and probably many times. And is that really all this church means to me? And you know, if it were, I honestly think that would be enough. But as I mentally cataloged my life over these last 6 years, the things that stand out, I don't always remember as well as I used to, but of the things that stand out, most of them really relate to Wildwood Presbyterian Church one way or another. Some of those things are doing kinds of things, and some of those that I've always done, and some I've never even considered doing. For example, I played soccer all of my life, and by now that's some 45 years worth, and it's therefore something I've always done. And right now, in fact, I play on two teams. I've got a game tonight, and I have a great lot of rowdy, fun friends. That's just the nature of soccer players. And it was Greg who introduced me to them. I've also been on a mission trip and shared that very primal satisfaction of leaving behind a lot of sweat, some good work, a few tears, and maybe just a little bit of my soul. And who would have thought I'd ever do that? Some of the other things are emotional things. I mean, who here doesn't shed a tear every single time Kathy hits that emotional high point when she's preaching a story? And I can still feel the lump in my throat when it was Greg who declared husband and wife at the marriage of our oldest son, Jesse, just a couple of months ago. Those are some big times. Some of the emotions are quiet feelings, a few minutes of peace, activities without stress. Nearly every Sunday, I enjoy the warm, relaxed feeling of the fellowship time and sitting and listening to Smokey tell jokes and stories. For 4 years now, I've been at times inspired by the thoughtful concern of Hank and Sally, Beth and Mary, and my other fellow deacons, Barb included, as we work through our ministry activities. And at other times, I'm just annoyed at myself because I don't always have all those same good attributes. You know, as I look around the church, I have a certain smugness knowing that I've built some small part of this very church. In fact, I have a picture of my Jeep sitting right there, I think, right in that very spot, less than a year ago. Then again, I feel completely overwhelmed by all the time, the effort, the work that many, many others have given but make the church what it is today, and not the least of which is my wonderful wife, Paulette, who had me in here Friday night at 9:30 putting together lockers for the kitchen. But I also got to taste her entry in the chili cook-off. It was held here yesterday evening, and that was pretty special. I never knew there were so many different kinds of chili. And you really should have had the opportunity to try the first place winning recipe, which by Ian Wells, who's the daughter of Bob and Becky Wells. You know, there's so many, many things I can recall. And it's relatively easy even for me to recall many events and activities. But what do they all really mean to me? Well, in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, and this is in King James English, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have the fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ." And even though I got through it pretty well that time, I like the sound of the King James version of these things. What it means to me is that life, and by that I mean my life, my personal life, has been profoundly and irreversibly affected by my relationship with this church. I've changed its wooden bricks, but in return, they've changed me. I left a little blood behind one of the cabinets in one of the other rooms. The church has given me much in joy and peace, but it asked me to give back what I can. I think mostly it's the fellowship, the friends, the accepting people that is the greatest gift of grace to me. In closing, remember that uncertain, struggling teen I started to talk about? Well, he just earned a scholarship in his senior year of college, completed his bachelor's degree in 3 years, and has a great job doing what he loves. And I will always believe it's the grace of God right here working in Wildwood Presbyterian Church that gave that to us. Thank you.